Welcome to the Pivotal Decisions Podcast, where we know that the decisions you make today will determine your tomorrow. I'm your host, Stan Paris, and I'm thankful that you are tuning into the podcast today. And if you enjoy the podcast, if you like the podcast, if you just feel like this is something others might want to listen to, that would be incredible. And you can be a blessing by sharing this with your friends and by especially subscribing to the YouTube channel. All you have to do is go to YouTube and you type in Pivotal Decisions Podcast and it'll pop right up. And then you hit that subscribe button and then you'll be able to have all access to all the content of the Pivotal Decisions Podcast. And it's very simple and it's free. So you do that, that will be a blessing. Now, in a series of episodes of Pivotal Decisions, we have been discussing end time events. And so we started talking about first the rapture of the church. And actually, we spent a couple episodes on the rapture of the church. At any moment, there are no signs that have to take place. There is nothing that has to happen. At any moment, the rapture of the church can take place. And then after the rapture of the church, it will usher in what is known as the tribulation. For 7 years on the earth, there will be this time period known as the tribulation. And the Bible describes it as like hell on earth for 7 years. God will pour out his wrath on the earth for those 7 years. After that discussion, we talked about the rise of the Antichrist. During that 7 year period of time, after the rapture of the church, the tribulation for 7 years, during that 7 year period of time will be the rise of the Antichrist. He will come promising peace. And the world will buy into that lie that he will bring peace. And for a time, a season, he will bring peace. But by halfway through the 7 year period, time of the tribulation, the Antichrist will basically turn on the world, set himself up to be God, and demand to be worshipped. Part of that will be the use of what is known as the mark of the beast. The last episode of Pivotal Decisions, you can go back and look at it, listen to it. I talk about the mark of the beast. It's the mark of man, 666. And you'll have to have this mark, this devotion to the Antichrist if you'll be able to buy or sell. It will be a way of controlling you. And that mark will be necessary if you're going to survive during the tribulation. So it will be the rise of the Antichrist, the use of the mark of the beast. That will be all a part of the tribulation time. Now today, on this episode of Pivotal Decisions, I'm going to focus on what is known as the Battle of Armageddon. Armageddon is a word that has become popular in our culture, and it's used quite frequently, although I will say most of the time it is used incorrectly and out of context. For many of you, you've heard the idea of Armageddon in terms like when there's going to be a big snowstorm, you'll hear the weather person or someone say, it was like Snowmageddon. Or I saw on the news where there was a major traffic jam in Los Angeles, and they referred to it as Carmageddon. And you hear leaders say pretty frequently, especially right now, that we're headed to a financial Armageddon. And so this word Armageddon has crept into our culture, but what's the truth about Armageddon? And what does the Bible actually teach us about Armageddon? The word Armageddon is found only once in the Bible, and it's found in Revelation chapter 16. Now, remember, at this point in history in Revelation 16, that the rapture of the church has taken place. And so those who are Christians, have died. They have been raised to life, met Jesus in the air, and those who are saved and still alive have been called off of the earth and met Jesus in the air. And so there's no longer any Christians left on the earth, although there will be people who are saved during the tribulation. But this is the beginning time of the tribulation, and Revelation 16 is right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of the tribulation is Revelation 16. The tribulation is this seven-year period of history where God is judging the world. And during that seven-year period of time, the world is headed to the second coming of Christ. But before the second coming of Christ, right before, really setting up the second coming of Christ, we have this moment, this event known as the Battle of Armageddon. God, at this point, is using a series of judgments. They are the seal judgments, they're known as in Revelation, followed by the trumpet judgments, and then finally you have what the Bible refers to as the bowl judgments. And he uses all of those judgments, those series of judgments, to judge the world, to judge the earth. And Revelation 16 is describing the final set of judgments on the earth. They're known as the bowl judgments. This is the climax of the judgment. And the Bible gives us this incredible picture of what's happening on the earth. And it's amazing, it's scary, it's frightening, but it's also a real picture of the wrath of God being poured out on the earth. So let me give you just a picture, because we have to set the context here from Revelation 16 in order to understand the Battle of Armageddon. You really have to understand the context here in Revelation 16. And this gives us a picture of what's happening on the earth. There's already been two sets of judgments that the world has to endure by this point. This is the final set. But let me give you a picture of how the Bible describes the earth at this moment. Revelation 16, verse 2. So the first angel went and poured out the bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. Verse 3 says, the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea. It became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea. Get this picture in your mind of what this is like. Verse 4 says, the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. Verse 8 says, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. I mean, you've got every living thing in the sea dying. The springs of water, the rivers, they've been turned to blood. The people on the earth are being scorched by the heat of the sun. And then in verse 9 of Revelation 16, the Bible says they were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. Kind of hard to understand, to be honest. I mean, they're facing the scorching sun that's scorching their bodies, it says. The seas, every living thing in the sea has died. You imagine the smell of that. The living waters, the springs of water, the rivers have been turned to blood. And yet it says, in that moment, they cursed the name of God, the one that was in control of all of this, and the one that can change this and save them. It says, still at this moment, they cursed the name of God. They refused to repent and give him glory. And then in verse 10 of Revelation 16, it says, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. They should have humbled themselves. They should have repented. They should have just turned to God and said, God, we're sinners. We need you to help us. But even in this experience of the wrath of God, these people, they choose to curse the name of God. and continue rebelling against God. They did not repent of their deeds, it says. And so God's judgment's poured out on the earth with the people refusing to repent. And this is all leading to Revelation 16, 12. So we're setting the context for what we're going to learn here in Revelation 16, verse 12. It says, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. It says here, the angel pours out his bowl. Now, the bowls were judgments of God, and he pours out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. And its waters dried up, it says, to prepare the way for the kings of the east. The Euphrates River plays a central role in end-time events. It's called the Great River because it's a great river. It's 1,800 miles long. Its headwaters are found in that famous place, Mount Ararat. That's where the Ark ended up. At some points, it's as wide as 3,600 feet and deep 30-plus feet. And the bowl, God's judgment, the bowl judgment, is poured out on the Euphrates River, and it says it was dried up. Now, this is important. Because remember, back in verse 8, it says that the sun scorched the earth. That's going to create some massive problems. The polar ice caps will completely melt, and scientists say that will raise the water level hundreds of feet, which will take out major metropolitan areas all over the world. And so this whole area here around the Euphrates River would be flooded. And so God works this powerful miracle. He dries up the Euphrates River. So it says it allows the armies, the kings of the east, to come and cross the Euphrates River and have access to Palestine. And so the question is, why? Why are they coming? Remember, at this point, there's one world government. The Antichrist has set himself up not only as the ruler, but he set himself up as God. And so why are they coming to Israel? Why are the armies of the world coming to Israel? The Antichrist has had a grip on the world for 7 years. And you can understand, I mean, with all that's happening, with all the judgments of God, all the living things in the sea is dying, has died. They're being scorched by the sun. The springs of water have been turned to blood. You can imagine by this point, the approval rating of the leadership of the Antichrist is rock bottom. I mean, you think the approval rating of Congress is low. By this point, the approval rating of the leadership of the Antichrist is rock bottom. He has broken every single promise that he's ever made. And so here you have this scene. Armies from all the nations in the world are gathering to defeat the Antichrist, to overthrow the Antichrist. Now, something really powerful is found in Revelation 16, 13, that in this moment when the armies of the nations are gathering to defeat the Antichrist, it says in Revelation 16, 13, and I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs. Now, this is interesting. It says these evil spirits that look like frogs are coming out of the mouth of the dragon, which is Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast, which is the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The mouth is a place of influence. It's a source of speech, of course. Frog-like creatures coming out of their mouths, it says. Frogs were unclean animals in the Old Testament, and some even thought they were evil gods. But notice now, verse 14, hear this. This tells us what they were doing. It says they are, in verse 14, demonic spirits, performing signs. They were demonic spirits coming out of the Antichrist, performing signs, working miracles, doing miraculous things. who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. Why do all the powers of the east come, gathering there at the Euphrates River, crossing the Euphrates River, and the scorching sun, remember, they're being scorched by the sun, remember, crossing the desert. Why do they come? They have really very limited water supply. They are covered with sores and bulls from all the the judgments of God. Why do they come? They come because they are being induced to come by demonic spirits who are performing miraculous signs. The armies are gathering there because they have been deceived. These demons are able to go out and convince the whole world to gather, to come. They're going to bring the armies of the whole world together because they are going to use them, they believe, to fight a war against God. They're going to be deceived into believing that they're going to fight a war against God and win the war against God. So really, you could say it's out of pride and arrogance that the armies of the world will gather. And in Revelation 16, 16, it says, and they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. It tells us something very important here about Armageddon. You see, Armageddon is a place. It's not a battle or an event. There is a battle at Armageddon. It's taking place in the northern part of Israel. There's a mountain, Mount Megiddo. And at the foot of the mountain, there is a plain. Many battles in the Bible have happened in this spot. Scholars say that there's more than 200 battles that have been fought in or near this place. In fact, it's known as the Mount of Slaughter. Napoleon once said that there is no place in the whole world more suited for war than this place. But if you noticed in verse 15 that I read just a few moments ago in this Pivotal Decisions podcast, that right in the middle of this description of the battle at this place called Armageddon, you see something really important. Revelation 16, 15 says, behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he might not go about naked and be seen exposed. There's like a parenthesis here. There's a word from heaven. In the middle of all the judgments, we find this interlude. In fact, there are seven interludes like this in the book of Revelation. This one is a warning and a promise. Behold, I come like a thief. Jesus will come quickly and unexpected. To be asleep here means you're putting your trust in anything else except for Jesus. The imagery is a soldier here who's on duty. If you're a soldier on duty, you want to keep your clothes on. Because if you don't have your clothes on, you're not going to be ready. The enemy could attack at any moment. Some have suggested that a soldier on duty was to stay awake, or the consequence, they could be beaten or even put to death. And if he was found without his uniform when the battle broke out, he could lose his life. Well, there's going to be one final battle that will precede the end of time. It's the battle that will happen at this place called Armageddon, where all the armies of the world have gathered. And on that day, the armies of the world will gather at Armageddon, and as the world forces are battling Antichrist, suddenly the heavens will open, and the armies will drop their weapons as they stare into the sky in stunned silence. For you see, this gathering at Armageddon sets the stage for the most dramatic event in human history. For at this moment, the world will experience the second coming of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about it next time. Thank you for joining me today on this episode of the Pivotal Decisions Podcast. If you enjoy it, share it with your friends. That would be great. Subscribe to the Pivotal Decisions Podcast YouTube channel. That's a blessing. And you remember that the decisions you make today will determine your tomorrow.